take out your notes with me as we continue in our series. Hey, I want you to know that I did early voting, and if my vote is successful, your next governor will be Elwin Ahu. His lieutenant governor will be Pastor Dominic Kaihui, and Hawaii will be in deep kimchi. Therefore, you need this sermon. It's called Loneliness. It affects everybody. Loneliness. You can't get away from it. Sometime along the way, you'll face it. Songs like Eleanor Rigby. By the way, you know who sang that? Beatles, Paul McCartney. And one of the loneliest number. Three Dog Night. That's my era. I'm Mr. Lonely, that's Elwin's era. But yeah. Every one of us will go through it. In fact, it's going up to epidemic proportions now. 10 years ago, studies showed that there is about 22% adults 40 and over that suffered from chronic loneliness. 10 years later, it's up to 34%. That's a UCLA loneliness scale. Can you believe that? They even have a scale now for loneliness. They measure Americans. They measure people over 40 on chronic loneliness. It's amazing. And 34% of Americans over between 40 and 55 suffering from that. You know what that number is? Check this out. 44 million. 44 million adults. It affects so many different people. By the way, did you hear about the shipwreck that happened? It was about 150 miles off of the coast of Portugal. And there were no survivors except three guys. There was a Hawaiian, a Japanese, and a Portuguese. True story. And they were in this lonely raft out in the middle of the ocean. No water. They were dehydrating when along comes a bottle with a cork in it. So they scoop it up hoping that there's water in it. Only to find, poof, a cloud of smoke. A genie appears and says, I'll give you three wishes. Well, they're about ready to die. And so she said, I give you three wishes. So each of you get just one. The Hawaiian guy says, oh, man, I wish I was back in Hawaii drinking pineapple juice. Poof, she's gone. The Japanese guy says, oh, I wish I was with my wife drinking sake someplace in Japan. Poof, he's gone. And she turns to the Portuguese guy and says, what do you want to wish for? He said, I'm so lonely, I wish my friends came back. Loneliness affects everybody, especially if you're Hawaiian or Japanese. It's a huge thing that's going on right now. And if you're one of the 44 million that suffer from this, you're in good company. Because David the psalmist suffered from that. Let's read what it says in Psalm 25 and verse 16. Would you read it out loud? Go. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Underline that I'm lonely and afflicted. Just because you know God doesn't mean you're immune from this. No. Loneliness is an equal opportunity affliction. And the reasons, the causes are various. It could be the loss of a loved one. It could be a breakup. You feel lonely. I remember when my dad passed away, I just felt abandoned. The loneliness was so deep, my heart ached. Physically just hurt. A financial setback, or maybe just fear and insecurity causes you to shut yourself in, or maybe broken relationship, unresolved sin. That's a big one. Remember, it's not sin that destroys people from one another and separates people one from another. It's unresolved sin. Because you see, sin has an atonement, the cross. Unresolved sin, even the cross can't atone for if I don't want to resolve it. It's unresolved sin. It's the human heart of man that says, I don't want to resolve this. I just want to be this way. And so, to protect ourselves from being hurt, we cut off this relationship and cut off that one. And we use anger here or moods here. And pretty soon, if you look around, you just built a wall all around you. You're the only one left inside of it. You know what they call that? A tomb. And so, in our attempt to protect ourselves, we've only made a tomb. And there's that all over. Partly because of unresolved sin of broken relationships. And God wants us to understand loneliness, to turn, maybe convert that into something healthy, because we'll all go through that. So how do you convert that from something bad to something that is good? Because in that state, you can either run away from God or run to God. It's your choice. Suffering will change you, but not necessarily for the better. You have to choose that. Now, loneliness touches the deepest part of us because it was actually in Genesis chapter 2 that the fall or sin came in Genesis 3 when man and woman sinned and they didn't run to God. Adam and Eve ran which way? Away from God. Now, that's Genesis 3. Genesis 2, before the sin, he just got finished making man and woman, and he stopped and said, it's not good for man to be alone. Did you know it's hardwired into us to be people of relationship? That's the way God created us, designed us. He designed us for relationships. Everything has value only within the context of relationships. You can be a multimillionaire, but if your family leaves you and everyone leaves you, it's like, what do I want all of these mansions for? What do I want these swimming pools for and these boats for when nobody's going to be here to share it with me? And loneliness sets in. You see, it's an equal opportunity affliction because God indeed has wired us to be a people of relationship. And so how do you turn that from something bad into something good? I was reading an article by Brad Edmondson in the AARP magazine. Do you know what that is? I borrowed that from Ellen. And it says this, listen to this. It says, loneliness can actually be the cause for significantly increased chances for diabetes, sleep disorders, high blood pressure, and the stress hormone cortisol that weakens immune systems, even thoughts of suicide. Loneliness can become the reason for bad decisions. For example, quick remarriages. Your first marriage already has a built-in 43% chance of divorce. And your second marriage goes up to 67% chance of a divorce. Third marriages are up to 72% chance of divorce. And in a study recently, the main reason for that, here it is, loneliness was seen as the driving force for the marriage in the first place, not love. It was trying to get a cure for loneliness. It happens. A lot of people get lonely. Story of a man sitting in the bar with a drink in front of him. He's just twirling the drink for 20 minutes when a burly construction man came in and ordered himself a glass of whiskey and just downed it. Give me another one, he said. And he's looking over at this guy next to him, just looking at his glass. And he's thinking, this is his first time maybe drinking. And he drank the third and then a fourth. And he said, drink it! And the guy just didn't say anything, just kept twirling the glass, looking at it. And he thought, you baby, you do it like this. And he took it and just drank it. So there, that's how you do it. This guy broke into a cry and started crying. And the burly construction man said, I'll buy you another one, you baby. The guy said, no, this is the worst day of my life. First of all, my marriage is on the rocks. And then I find I can't pay for my rent. I go to work and they laid me off. I come back home, my wife left me a note, took the kids and left me. I don't know what to do. I'm so lonely. I just wanted to take my own life. I came to the bar and you come in and drink my poison. Loneliness can be the cause for some bad decisions. Now, even though loneliness is an equal opportunity affliction that goes after rich or poor, Christian, non-Christian, doesn't matter what status of life you're in, what gender you are, for some reason, loneliness loves especially to afflict those that are extreme introverts. And guess what? Extreme what? Extroverts. That's right. That's interesting. You see some people that are extreme extroverts, you think they are anyway. Someone like, do you remember Johnny Carson? He was just like the life of the late-night talk shows, the grandpa of the late-night talk shows. But in an interview with Ed McMahon, his sidekick, Ed McMahon said, Johnny Carson was the loneliest man I've ever met. In fact, he was like someone always looking for a good time, but never being able to find it. Interesting. How many of you, by the way, how many of you are extroverts? Raise your hand. Extroverts, yeah, they're waving their hands. How many of you are introverts? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you are extreme introverts so much that you're afraid to raise your hand? How many of you are so extroverted you already raised your hand three times? Doesn't matter what they are. Yeah, that happens. I want you, this graph here, I want you to put an X where you think you are. But first, let me give you the definition. An extrovert loves people, and when he's with people, they fill his tank. When he's away from people, his tank drains. An introvert loves people, but when he's with people, they slowly drain his tank, so he has to get away from people to fill back up. They both love people. But it's how you fill your tanks. Some, they got to fill their tanks alone to be with people. Others, when they're away from people, it drains their tanks. They got to be with people to fill. So, put an X where you see yourself on this graph. Go ahead. We're not going to collect it or grade it, so just kind of put where you think you are. If you're Portuguese, we need a whole different graph for you. I give this to some Portuguese people. They end up with three X's. I said, what do you do that? They said, well, this is my ex-husband. This is my ex-wife. This is my ex-boss. I said, you need X-rays, what you need. Where are you? And if you're on the extreme either end, you will be susceptible to loneliness. And especially now going into the holidays, loneliness is increasingly becoming acute. In fact, I Googled the word lonely and loneliness. You know what it came up with? 86 million websites that talk about loneliness. 86 million. When you think about it, there's 44 million adults between just 40 and 55 that are suffering from that. So the question is, Wayne, how do you manage loneliness? Better yet, what can we learn from loneliness? Because we're all going to go through a season, short, long, or medium, of loneliness that can either go negative or positive, can draw us closer to God or cause us to run away from God. How do we convert loneliness into something beneficial? Well, let me give you some basics that will help you live more effectively. Here's some just basics that I do, and all of us, I encourage you to do this as well. Would you write down number one? Here's the first life essential. Develop a healthy daily routine. Develop a healthy daily routine. So regardless of your emotions, there's certain a regimen that you're going to go through. Don't ever leave your day up to chance. Casual chance. You just get up and say, I wonder what's going to happen today. I don't have anything today, so I'm just not going to do anything. We'll just see what happens. You do that long enough, you're extremely susceptible to temptation, to loneliness, to bad decisions, to procrastination, to squandering your days. You should have a daily, healthy routine. A healthy routine. In fact, the psalmist says it this way. Let's read it. Go. So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. That word, teach us to number, that means, Lord, help me to be accountable for how my day is spent. Because wisdom is going to come not out of the casual chances of life, but the conscious choices of life. It's not determined by chances. It's determined best by choices of life. So teach us to number our days. Number our days. Don't leave it to chance. Don't do that. It's too important. So I have an acrostic that I live by, and it's in the acrostic PEPPERD, P-E-P-R-D. And these are some of the things that I make sure that I do every day. This is just the foundation, and then I build off of this. So what does that stand for? Here's the first thing. P stands for prayer.
first thing I do is I just have a regimen of prayer. It could be short or long, but the first thing I do when I get up, and I did this morning, got to my knees and just took a time of prayer. If I've got tons of things, I will take more time in prayer to think it through before God, pray through it, ask God's touch on it, etc. So prayer. Next is E for exercise. Exercise. Do some modicum of exercise every day. Even if it's just what I call room exercise. Because I travel a lot sometimes in my room. I'll do some sit-ups and some crunches, and then I'll do some push-ups. And if it's just that, it keeps you in the regimen of exercise and gets you in that habit, a daily habit. By the way, what you will become is what you have made daily. If it's not daily, you won't become that. For example, if you want to become a great piano player, but you just play piano once a month and it's not daily, it won't happen. Great piano players play scales how often? Daily. If you want to be a good guitar player, you do it daily. If you want to have a good marriage, you better invest in that how often? Daily. If you want to have a good family, invest in that how often? Daily. Whatever you make daily is what you eventually become. You eat daily. You take a bath, hopefully daily. If you just ate once a month and butchered once a month, it would change your relationships. You got it. Whatever you do daily is what you become. So exercise is daily. Now the next P is planning. Planning. Let me challenge you to do this. And this is very simple. What's six things that you need to accomplish today that maybe you've been putting off? Maybe something you'd like to do, but, well, when I get around to it. Well, maybe one day. Well, then it becomes, well, I shoulda, I coulda, I woulda. What's six things that you want to make sure that you do? It could be some maintenance you put off, cleaning you put off, straightening up a closet or writing a letter or visiting somebody. Do six things today, just six. Under planning, plan those things. You'll be surprised after a week, your life will be miles advanced. Otherwise, you'll leave your life up to casual chance. You're prone to loneliness. It'll mess you up. So the first P, gosh, I forgot what it was already. What was the first P? Prayer, that's it. Prayer. And E stood for exercise. And the next P is for? Yeah, planning. How many things should you put down? Six things. What are six things? Could be clean your room. It could be talk to someone that I haven't talked to in a long time. I tell my wife I love her. I haven't said that to her for a while. So say that. You know, send that person just a letter, whatever it might be. R stands for read. Read something that will help you as a person. I say to people, work harder on yourself than you do on your job. Your attitude, your disposition, your posture, the way you treat people, to think a little bit more before you speak, to smile once in a lifetime. Just do something to help improve yourself. And when you work harder on yourself than you do on your job will become an automatic beneficiary of your improvement. Work harder on yourself. Your marriage will become an automatic beneficiary. But if you work harder on your job and you forget about yourself, you will be empty one day. And you will be lonely. And you'll feel terrible because you'll be bankrupt. So make sure that you're working on yourself. And one of the ways is reading. I have right by my bed right now, I have a book on finances because I'm working on some of the things, just wanting to learn more about stewarding that area of my life. I have books strategically placed, about four books in my house, so that wherever I am, there's a book that I can read. I mean, I even have one by the stool, the toilet, because when you're waiting for whatever, you know, you can redeem the time, depending on how you're feeling. You can read. So the first is prayer. The second is, gosh, what was it? Exercise, that's it. And the third was planning. The fourth is reading. And the fifth, daily devotions, or devotions done daily. Daily. I want to be good at hearing God. And so I've got to do devotions daily. Because then I learned to hear God. Whatever you want to be good at, make sure you're doing it daily. Check your schedule. Are you doing it daily? Nope. You want to be good at it? Yep. Then do it daily. Do it daily. You want your marriage to improve? Yep. Then spend time with your spouse. How often? Intentional time. Whatever you make daily is what you'll get better at. What you begin to neglect, it'll start to go backwards. So the first is develop a healthy daily routine. And the second thing in this life essential is take time for solitude. Now listen carefully. Solitude is vastly different from isolation. See, solitude is something you choose to clean up your heart and get it right, to redirect, to focus and tweak your GPS a little bit. Isolation is often a consequence of some bad decisions made, unresolved problems. Now you feel isolated. But if you don't take time in solitude, you'll end up isolated. Take time for solitude. It's okay to have solitude. In fact, you should find, you should make sure that you're okay with solitude. That you're okay with that. Just you and Jesus. Because you've got to remember, you and Jesus make a majority. You and Jesus make a majority. So if no one's around, just me and Jesus, I'm okay with that. If you're not okay, you're going to need people. You'll start to get codependent on people. Solitude helps you to be okay with just you and Jesus. Because that's when your heart really gets to be known. You start to realize, oh, I've got this, I've got to work on, or that. You've got to have solitude. That's what God did with Hezekiah. That's the king, Hezekiah. Let's read what it says in 2 Chronicles 32. Would you read it out loud? Go. God left him alone, only to test him, that he might know all that was in his heart. God left him alone to test him in order to check his heart out. Solitude. Each of us needs to be okay with solitude. If not, you'll find yourself isolated. But here's the reason solitude's so important. Because there's going to be times you'll be lonely. But you can convert that into solitude by your choice. You can convert loneliness, because you'll all go through loneliness. What do we learn from it? You can convert it into a solitude, into time with God. And I choose, it's okay. And then God helps me to find out what went wrong. Let's read this next scripture out of Psalm 107. Go. Therefore, he humbled their heart with labor. They stumbled, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. See, sometimes God allows me to be in this moment of solitude to wean me off of people. Because there comes a time, if you don't take solitude, you'll find yourself needing people. And pretty soon you become needy of people. And then we become people pleasers. And then you'll find yourself always concerned about what people think. What are they going to say? And you start living for the endorsement of people. Because you're so afraid to not have their endorsement. And someone once said, Wayne, if you fear people, you'll fear everything else. But if you fear God alone, you'll fear nothing. You fear people, you'll fear everything else. You fear God, you'll fear nothing else. Well, in order to gain that disposition and level of faith, God sometimes has to cordon you off. And then we begin to understand, God wants the flame of my heart to be strong. Because if I need people, then this is what's going to happen. I will love God, but I'll need people. Rather than needing only God. So now I can truly love people. Because see, often our love for people is really an exchange. I love you if you give me. I'll love you if you do this. And then your love has a price tag to it. Because you need people. But if I just need only God, then I can love people and expect nothing in return. That's the only way you'll gain agape love. A love that just says, I love you. There's not a thing you can do about it. That's God's love for us. But sometimes God has to bring us over here to a corner so that he weans us off of people. And then the flame of our heart is restored again. And the third, would you write this down, number three? And then find a way to invest your life in something eternal. Make sure that after the week is done, that you can look back and say, this had an eternal spin to it. This was an eternal thing. This was eternal. Otherwise, we'll go through a whole week and there'll be nothing eternal about it. It's all temporal. Make sure that you're investing in something eternal that will help you so much to combat loneliness. In fact, can I just give a plug for our small groups? One of the best things to do is, here it is, put it in that little bullet. Get involved with people going in the same direction. Get involved with people going in the same direction. They've got the same cause, the same love for Christ, and they're already moving in that way. And if you're going, you're jumping into small groups and into activities where everybody's going the same way, wanting to follow God, you can be really lonely. But if you get into this current, just got to pull you this way. Pretty soon, oh, I'm not as lonely as I thought. Huh? Got to tell you, if you're constantly moving that way, it mitigates the susceptibility to loneliness that has a tendency to isolate you. And then you just start to meditate on your navel, and you just go downward into an ever-spinning cycle. So get involved with people going the same direction. It will help you. In fact, let's read what the scripture says. Would you read it with me? Psalm 68. Go. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. Here it is. He sets the lonely in families. You see, God made family, people that are in groups, for a reason. It combats the destructive power of loneliness. As God said, it is not good for man to be alone. So he has these families and groups. Jump in. It'll just kind of pull you right along. It'll help you to heal from that. Now, does it mean that you'll get into this group and everyone's perfect? No. No. But I tell you, I can't think of a better place to be where health is spawning and health is increasing than with people all following God. I'd say to people, when you're looking for a mate, look for someone already going in that same direction. It's important. Some people say, well, you don't go to church to find a mate. I say, I can't think of a better place to find a mate. Where you'd rather go, Lopaka's Bar? It's sort of like this. If you had a pencil, here, just a pencil now, and you took a 2-foot string, two of them, and you put a rock on the end of each, the rocks can be far apart, but if they're both following this pencil like this, what's going to happen to those rocks eventually? What's going to happen to those rocks eventually? Yeah, it's going to come together, isn't it? It may take a mile or so down the road, but eventually they'll come back together. Does that mean they'll always stay together? No, they might hit another speed bump. But if you're both going in the same direction, following the same Lord, it will be his power that will bring you back together. But if you're both following different goals in life, it's going to be a tough one to keep coming together. And it'll be on your own strength. I'd suggest both of you following God. And if you can have people that follow God too, then eventually, even though we make mistakes with one another, we're going to just boop, 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 come back together. You keep following God, boop, 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 comes back together, goes out, boop, 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 comes back together again. I got a lot more moves I'll show you later. Yeah, some of you are thinking, dude, that's down. So invest your life in something that's eternal and get involved with people going in that same direction. A life group, an affinity group, a sports group. There's just tons of them. Get involved, because there's going to be times when that's a part of your regimen. When you're struggling with loneliness, you go there anyway, and it'll just kind of pull you in, and the healing will be expedited. Remember, when you get lonely, the devil's modus operandi is to get you to run from God. He did that with Adam and Eve. And he's still doing that with people today. That's why when you mess up or sin, your first inclination and tendency is to stay away from the people of God. Instead, you fight that current like the plague, and you get into that. And get with people that are going in the same direction. Even though it's just warring against your flesh, do it. Do it. Even if it's for short moments, do it. And it'll help you to heal. Because I want you to write in your last bullet, and this is very important, because I want you to always remember, even though you are lonely, it does not mean you're alone. We go through lonely times, but it doesn't mean you're alone. You and Jesus make a majority. And it sounds cliche-ish, but I say it often. Sometimes you don't know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you got. And then you realize he's enough. He's more than enough. And then he converts loneliness into a time of solitude, and you begin to grow deep. And in due time, the Lord brings you out if you're following him. There'll be a season, but there's a reason for that. But if you don't convert loneliness into solitude, it'll cause you to run from God rather than to God. Loneliness is a choice. It's a choice. A choice we make to not convert it into something positive. Make that choice. He'll give you the power to do that. And you'll find you're never alone. I want to share with you a story of a young lady in our congregation that understood that. She wrestled with that, but finally made that conversion. Her story is very touching. I want you to hear about it. Let's take a look at this video.
Both families were upset, especially Noni's family. And they looked for the blessing from the dad, but it was an extremely rough time. One service. to worship, Pastor Owen came up, and he said, I know that this is for someone.
Live a life of regret. I know the end from the beginning. There is a plan. There is a future and a hope for you. Don't give up. Don't give up. I just thought somebody in this auditorium might want to hear that word today.
It had been the scripture that I had just read for myself. And it was Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to hurt you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And I've always heard that through my life, but at that moment, I knew that it was for me. And I remember turning to my mom and just almost losing my whole balance, just falling on her into her arms. Because I knew that God had been hearing me. He'd been hearing my cries at night.
That was pivotal, that she knew that she could, she wasn't alone, and that she could hold on to that scripture.
I knew that God had answered me, and he said, I'm here. I've been here. Even when you thought I wasn't, I was here. And from that moment on, things were still hard, but I knew there was hope. And I chose hope for me, and I chose hope for my son.
Giving it.
because no one is immune from that. But you can convert those times of solitude, where you run to God rather than away from Him. Some of you are here and you're waiting for that to even start in your heart, where God converts you because of the tendencies that we've had for so many years to run away from God. There's now a distance. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And it's not just a stopping of life, it's a separation from life. And the tension is there. You'll feel it. You'll feel it. But Jesus came to restore that broken relationship. And He bridged it with the cross. And then, throughout your lifetime, He starts to bring you closer and closer to God. And He repairs that chasm and heals it. But it starts with the cross, because you can't get nearer to God on your own. So He reaches to you with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And then healing, for some, takes a lifetime. You say, well, I haven't had that span. I haven't had it bridged yet by the cross. That's a decision that you get to make. Because you see, Jesus made His decision about spanning that chasm. He made that 2,000 years ago. He made His choice. The next choice is yours. Whether or not you'd say, Lord, would you do that with me? Every single person has to make that choice. Every person. And when you say yes to that, that's what it means, where you come to Christ and accept Him as your Lord and Savior. You receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then He begins that healing process that sin caused, that separation, that tension. But you've got to say yes. I want to give you that opportunity to say that. Say yes to Him. And then He begins His divine work inside of you. Would you bow your heads? If you're here today and you say, wait, I want to do that. I want to accept Jesus Christ. Receive Him as Lord and Savior. The work that He did on the cross to span that chasm. Because I know I can't reach God on my own strength, but He was so willing to reach me. I just get to accept that, receive that. I turn from my sin of constantly running away from God, and I want to turn to the Lord. If that's you, and you want to say yes to His invitation to salvation, I want you right now to raise a hand. In doing so, you're saying yes. Okay? Yeah. All right. Yeah. Good. Good. Yep. The Lord sees that. Yeah. Okay. All right. Good. All right. On the side as well. Good, you can put your hands down. If you're here and you say, you know, I'm a Christian, but there's huge spans of loneliness that takes place. My tendency is always to run from God. I don't convert that to time of solitude. I choose to be shut in with God so that He can heal me and then run to Him and become better because of it. Lord Jesus, would you help me to be a person that converts loneliness into solitude, so it goes from being negative and running away to being positive and drawing near. If that's you, would you raise a hand and say, Lord, would you help me to do that? I want to be able to do that. And He'll help you. He really will. Good. If you're here and you just made a decision to follow Christ for the first time, outside there are yes packets for people that have said yes to Christ. It's free of charge, and it is a Bible and some follow-up material. Just take one. The usher will have it. But let's all pray this prayer together collectively as we conclude. So would you pray this out loud? Follow with me as I lead you in prayer. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, thank You for Jesus. Thank You that You came. You died for my sin, that I might have life everlasting. Change me. Make me the person You want me to be. I turn from my sin. I turn to You. And now I say this so everyone hears. So You can hear me. So I can hear myself. And so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray.
Father, that's a cry of our hearts. Thank you for being such a merciful and gracious God. We ask that you would embrace these who have said yes to you. Let this be the beginning of a brand new life that's led by you as you heal the breaches of our life. Thank you for that. We give you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, and welcome these who made that decision to follow Christ. Congratulations.